Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
The Dummy by Josh. This happened when I was 11. I'm now in my 30s and am still unsure of what really happened. I had a friend named Kyle who lived next door to me, and our bedrooms faced each other directly. We would converse via our windows most nights, making faces at each other, trying to make each other laugh at night. We were pretty good friends. One day, I went over to Kyle's house, and he had something new to show me. He had been to his grandparents' house and found this old ventriloquist dummy in their attic. He had convinced them to let him keep it so that he could practice, and apparently be the next Jeff Dunham. The dummy was wearing a red and white shirt and light blue pants, and had stringy hair that was somewhat combed over. Kyle was excited, but I was not. I never liked those things. They gave me the creeps, as I told him. They really freaked me out, and this one particularly gave me these bad feelings. I can still feel it today, thinking about it, all these years later. I asked if he could put it away if we were going to continue playing there. Eventually, Kyle put the thing in his toy box, and we played some PlayStation. The whole time, though, I felt uneasy. Even though we were friends, I was happy to hear my mom at the door sometime later, telling Kyle's mom that it was time for me to come home for dinner. Later that night, I was home, hanging out with my parents and watching TV, when I heard Kyle and his parents leave. Normally, they would go out to the movies on Friday nights, so that must have been what day of the week it was. No big deal. Sometime after that, I went up to my room to hang out and play some computer games, and that's when I saw it. Across the way in Kyle's room, dimly lit by a lamp by his bed, was the dummy sitting in a chair, facing directly into my room. I froze. It was placed to look right at me, and I think I might have let out a little gasp as my blood ran cold. After just a second, I composed myself. I went and closed the shades, all the while feeling that thing staring at me. I know how crazy I sound, and once the shades were down, reality hit, and I knew Kyle had placed the stupid thing there just to mess with me. He probably found it funny. But I didn't think he truly understand how I felt about those things. I was pretty mad at him, and I blew him off the next day when he asked if I wanted to hang out. Later, when I was in my backyard, Kyle came over. I was still kind of upset, and I guess it showed in my attitude and on my face. "What's wrong?" he asked. "That dummy in the window the other night, that wasn't cool," I told him. "A joke is a joke, but I told you those things really bother me." Kyle immediately looked confused. "What are you talking about?" he asked. I was taken aback at first, but I figured he realized he had crossed a line and was now trying to lie his way out of it. I explained what I saw the other night, the dummy looking at me through the windows, and he still insisted that he didn't know what I was talking about. He claimed that when he got home from the movies, the dummy was still in the toy box where he had left it. Now, I was pissed and said, "Whatever, man," or something like that, and I went inside, not inviting him in. I figured that was the end of it. I'd eventually be fine with him. He would eventually confess and apologize, and we would be back to being best friends in a couple of days. However, that is not what happened. Later that night, I was on the porch reading when I saw Kyle's dad take out the trash bag like he did most nights, only in the other hand was the dummy. Both the bag and the dummy went into the trash can, and then he went inside. Why did Kyle want the dummy thrown away if he had been so thrilled about finding it just a few days earlier? I eventually went back to his house some days later and played. I asked him about it, and he refused to bring it up. We were never quite the same after that. But why did he so quickly want it gone, if it really was just a prank? He moved about a year later, and sadly, I never saw him again. Once in a while, I still wonder what the hell was up with that situation with the dummy. It still makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. So, to the really old dummy, probably broken apart in a landfill somewhere, let's not meet again.
Four Spooky Stories by Trish the Fish. I've got a few spooky stories to share. And for context, I'm a woman in my late 20s. My encounters range from hearing unexplained noises when I'm home alone to sleep paralysis and spotting shadowy figures. My earliest memory of something truly strange happened when I was about 11 or 12. My dad would often pick me up from school, drop me off at home, and then head back out. On this particular day, it was just me and my dog, Tinkerbell, named after Paris Hilton's Chihuahua, not the fairy. My mom and sister were both at work, so the house was quiet. I was in my room when I suddenly felt the urge to check on Tinkerbell, who loved her alone time. Rest in peace, sweet angel. So to get to the living room, I had to pass the bathroom. As I walked by, I noticed a roll of toilet paper had fallen from the magazine stand. I figured I'd pick it up on my way back. I sat down on the couch and started petting Tinkerbell, when, out of nowhere, I heard rattling from the bathroom. From my spot on the couch, I could see the open bathroom door. That's when it got weird. The sink turned on by itself, and the cabinet doors started opening and closing. Having lived in that house for years, I knew every sound it made. My mind told me to go look, but my body was frozen. Then, as sunlight streamed through the window, I saw a shadow move across the wall, and everything went silent. I waited a while, then finally got up to check. No one was there, but the toilet paper that had been on the floor, back on the rack. All that noise just to tidy up after me? Thanks, ghost. The second story takes place when I was around 13 or 14. We still had a home phone, which sat in my sister's room. The phone also had a light. Green meant the line was free. Red meant it was busy. I was home alone again, this time during summer break. Earlier that day, my mom had called from work just to check in. After we finished talking, I left the phone on the bed instead of putting it back. Later, I got hungry and headed to the kitchen. As I passed my sister's room, I noticed the phone's light was red. I panicked a little, thinking maybe I hadn't hung up and my mom's work could still hear me. Did they hear me singing? I picked up the phone and put it to my ear, expecting silence or static. Instead, I heard loud screaming without any words. Just straight up blaring noise coming from someone's mouth. I hung up immediately and threw the phone back on the bed, heart racing. I tried to make sense of it, and the only thing I could think of was a banshee, a warning said to foretell a death in the family. But unless I'm misremembering how old I was, I don't think anyone passed away around then. My third story. Another day, another trip to the kitchen, this time for a Hot Pocket. As I walked in, I stopped cold. Lying right by the fridge was a massive yellow and black snake. My first thought was Tinkerbell. The snake looked big enough to swallow her whole. I ran over to grab her, then woke up my dad, yelling, "Snake! Snake! There's a snake in the kitchen!" He shot out of bed faster than I'd ever seen. But when he got to the kitchen, there wasn't anything. It was completely empty. I'd only been gone a few seconds, so there was no way something that size just disappeared. My dad moved the fridge, the oven, everything. No snake, no holes in the wall, no trail, nothing. I know I wasn't dreaming. The image is still burned into my brain. What's even stranger is that a few nights before, I had a nightmare about a pit filled with snakes. I was crossing it using a rope ladder. I've never even been that afraid of snakes. At the time, it just felt creepy. But now, I wonder if it was some kind of warning. My last story starts the night before I planned to paint my room. I'd spent the evening rearranging furniture, then went to bed. In the middle of the night, I woke up and realized I couldn't move. I was completely paralyzed. Only my eyes could open. When I blinked a few times, I saw the shadowy outline of a woman hovering directly above me. I couldn't see her face, but it felt like she was lying on her stomach, suspended just inches away. I shut my eyes, hoping it would end. When I opened them again, she was still there. Then I felt a tight, freezing grip around my right wrist. Just as suddenly, it all stopped. I could move again. I didn't even want to put my feet on the floor. I was terrified something would grab me from underneath the bed. Eventually, though, I forced myself up. My mom and sister were still awake, putting my sister's room back together after painting it earlier. I burst in, crying, and told them everything. We checked my wrist. No marks. Nothing to prove what I had felt. At the time, they didn't believe me. But after all the weird stuff that's happened since, they definitely do now. Sometimes I wonder if I'm the one who's haunted, or if it's just my parents' house. But I've had experiences outside of there, too. I haven't had anything happen in a long time, but I still catch myself wondering when the next incident will occur. If it does, I hope I'll be able to handle it differently. Instead of letting fear take over, I want to try to understand what's happening, what the message might be, if there is one. Maybe next time I'll ask some questions, even just telepathically if I can. I wonder what answers I might get.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I Think Something Came Home With Me by Naked Potato. I work security at an old hospital that is most definitely haunted. I think one of the residing spirits attached itself to me. Now, I usually do my patrols towards the middle of my shift, at around 2 or 3 a.m., just to give myself a halfway done feeling, I guess. My patrols include the closed wings of the hospital, the parking garage, and the historic building. The historic building dates back to the mining days, one of the first hospitals built in the state. Lots and lots of history. Also, lots of unsettling feelings. So, last night, I'm doing my patrol in the historic building, twisting doorknobs and handles to make sure that they're locked, and I get this funny feeling in the back of my mind, like I'm being watched. Not the first time, but this time feels different. The feeling lingered, even after returning to the security office and doing my nightly checks in the ER and ICU. Even when I go home, the feeling is still there. I got home, changed out of my uniform, and just kind of lounged in bed. I'm alone except for my dog, as my boyfriend was at work. We have nightstands with LED lights so that we can program them to automatically turn on when you're within 3 feet of the sensor. My boyfriend's nightstand light turned on. This is on the opposite side of the bed from me. The dog is lying on her little cot at the foot of the bed, but she is staring at the nightstand with her ears perked up. For those who own shepherd dogs, you know how they usually keep their ears down unless they're really focused on something. The feeling is there. I'm scared. So I get up and go into the living room to mess around on the Xbox, just to make some noise, I guess. My dog is a Velcro dog, but she didn't follow me this time. It was odd. After 15 minutes of Xbox noise, I hear the dog whimper from the bedroom. I went in to check on her, and she's pointing at my boyfriend's nightstand, the fur on her back standing up on end. Flash forward to 4 p.m. My boyfriend comes home. We say hi, ask how each other's day and night was, and then he goes into the bedroom. "Why are the nightstands on?" Both of them apparently had been lit up. As of right now, they're periodically turning on and off. This has never happened before, and we've had them for about 6 months now. If it were a defect or malfunction, they would have started this sooner. I think it's no longer just the three of us.
Energy is felt even after death, by Cindy. Hi, I've been listening to you guys for a while now, and I think it's time for me to share a story. I'm not sure if I believe in the supernatural, though I've had some questionable experiences that suggest it might be real. This story is one of them. It happened about 12 years ago in a big West Coast city, not LA. I'll be changing the names of the people involved out of respect. Back in 2013, I was 21 years old. I worked in the cosmetics section of a major department store and did freelance makeup on the side. I loved everything about makeup. I could spend hours doing glam looks or special effects and never get tired of it. These days, I mostly focus on skincare and only wear makeup on special occasions, though I still freelance here and there. At the time of the story, I was living with my then-fiancé and his family. One day, my sister-in-law came home from her barista job at a small coffee shop and told me she had a potential gig for me. One of her regulars, a guy named Jay, was looking for a makeup artist. When I asked what kind of job it was, she hesitated, gave me a nervous smile, and said the makeup wasn't for Jay. It was for one of his clients. She explained that Jay either owned or worked at a mortuary a block away from her shop, and the client was a deceased woman. His usual makeup artist had just quit, and he was desperate for someone to fill in. Anyone. Jay had first asked my sister-in-law if she could do it, but she told him that she knew a professional. That professional, of course, was me. I was surprised, obviously. I didn't expect that kind of gig. But then I said, okay, I'll do it. Relief washed over her face as she gave me his number. I texted Jay, asked what to bring and how much the pay was, and when he needed me. Turned out, he needed me the very next day. Jay greeted me at the mortuary and gave me a quick tour. Finally, he led me to a wooden door off to the left of the entrance. He twisted the knob, and inside was a medium-sized room, with a casket at the center. I approached slowly, heart pounding. I had barely any experience with death, just one funeral as a kid. As I neared the casket, I realized I'd been holding my breath. Jay noticed my nervousness and tried to reassure me. He said, "Embalmed bodies are actually cleaner than you or me. They flush out all the toxins during the process." Being socially awkward, I blurted out, "Have you ever seen a body move?" I don't know why I asked that. Jay laughed, though, and he said, "Nope, they're dead. I'd be in a different field if they did." Then he said he'd give me space to work on Sandy, not her real name. I should mention, this was a black-owned mortuary that mostly served black families. Jay had joked, "Black folks don't crack, even in death," and he wasn't lying. Sandy was a black woman in her 60s, and she looked so peaceful, like she was just taking a nap. I remember looking down at her and smiling. I softly told her I was going to make sure she looked beautiful one last time. I felt something from her. Warmth, peace, kindness. Like her soul was still gently lingering in the room. Even though I didn't know her, I knew she had been a good person. Snapping out of my trance, I laid out my kit and started plucking a few stray brow hairs, something I knew she would have done herself. I moved on to her makeup, taking my time. I gave her a soft, smoky eye with wispy lashes and a bold red lip that matched her perfectly. Sandy looked like a movie star. Just as I was doing touch-ups, Jay walked in with his mom. They had both known Sandy from church. His mom said, "Oh wow, she looks better dead than alive. Great job." They laughed. I was a bit taken aback, but I thanked her anyway. I could tell it was meant as a compliment, in her own way. They left and I finished up. I smiled down at Sandy one last time and said, "You look beautiful, Your family's going to remember you like this. I gently stroked her hair, packed up, and left. In the car, I felt proud of myself for saying yes to something that had made me nervous and for helping someone be remembered with dignity. When I got home, my mother-in-law and sister-in-law begged me to tell them everything. I was in the middle of describing the experience when my phone buzzed. I assumed it was my fiancé. We had a fight earlier that morning, and I thought maybe he was texting to apologize. But when I pulled my phone out, my blood ran cold. It was a text from an unknown number. One word. Just Sandy. I immediately showed them the screen. Both my mother-in-law and sister-in-law stared in silence. I tried to call the number back. It was already out of service. Tears started streaming down my face. My mother-in-law's eyes welled up too. She told me, "That's her. That's Sandy saying thank you." I like to believe that. I really do think she was there with me, watching me work. I think she approved. And if that was her spirit, it wasn't scary. It was beautiful, peaceful, full of love. Sandy, I hope you're resting in peace. In case you're wondering, I did a few more jobs for that mortuary. 3 to be exact. One of them was the city's first black mayor. Like Sandy, he looked like he was just sleeping. But my last client, that one was different. It was a woman in her 30s. She had overdosed and her skin had turned a sickly green. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but she looked like something out of the Thriller music video. She scared the hell out of me. Her energy was heavy, not peaceful, just wrong. I asked Jay if he could stay in the room while I worked. He did, but I could feel the difference. I was drained. I finished the job, did my best, but I couldn't go back. I thanked Jay for the opportunity and told him I was done. The mortuary closed a year or two later.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Reappearing Objects by Twisted Fate. I'm aghast right now. My boyfriend and I are cooking together in his late mother's kitchen. He was looking for breadcrumbs, which he always has a surplus of, and I told him that they're in the rotating cabinet. He can't find them, so I look for myself. I can't find them either. I went round and round and round many times and couldn't find them. He went round and round and couldn't find them either. I even went so far as to reach way back behind the Lazy Susan to see if they had fallen off. I retrieved several items that were probably 7 years or more old back there, from when his mother was probably still alive, but no breadcrumbs. So we decided to make some breadcrumbs by whizzing some croutons in the blender. We completed that, and then he went into the same cabinet to get something else and said, "You're not going to believe this. I think my mom is playing tricks on us." 2 cans of breadcrumbs now, prominently placed in exactly where I normally would put them. My boyfriend is not a practical joker, and he would never be able to keep a straight face through this whole exchange if this were to be his first practical joke. No one else was in the house. I just can't accept the possibility that we just happened to miss them. You could literally see them from the next room. Strange Light in the Forest by Mike. I'd like to start by saying that this story isn't mine, but rather something that supposedly happened to a friend of mine, whom I have since lost contact with. I had known her for several years when she told me this story, and it was the only strange or paranormal tale that she had, so it's always had a ring of truth for me. Around 2004, she lived with her parents in a wooded area of Ontario, Canada. Their backyard had a handful of fruit trees, and a thick forest began where their backyard ended. One night, her father was climbing the stairs to go to bed when he happened to look out the window toward the fruit trees. A blue-white light caught his eye, meandering among their fruit trees. Not particularly bright, but not dim either. It supposedly drifted freely around 3 feet off of the ground. Thinking it was a prowler with a flashlight, he readied himself for confrontation. But as he looked closer, he realized that this light was not coming from a flashlight. It was coming from a ball of light floating around the trees, as my friend described it. Her dad called for the family to come and see. They joined him at the window, bewildered at what this ball of light was. He decided to go get a closer look, but as soon as he opened the door, the light retreated to the thicker forest beyond their yard, weaving through the fruit trees as it moved without a sound. Thoroughly creeped out, my friend and her mom went back upstairs to go to bed, trying to put it out of their minds. Her dad stayed up a bit longer, staring out the window mesmerized, watching as this light returned to their yard and just floated around. Eventually, it drifted back into the forest and disappeared. The following morning, my friend woke up to her father shouting in a panic. He had gone blind overnight. She and her mom rushed him to the hospital where the doctor examined him. The doctor told them that he typically only sees this kind of retinal burn and people who had been welding without a mask. It was determined that her father's blindness was thankfully temporary and should pass within a couple of days. I should add that her father was not a welder, but rather worked in an office. As I said before, I've since lost contact with this friend, but as of our last conversation, the source of the light was never determined.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up.
In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So before we get started, I just have to give you a little bit of an update on my life, what's going on.
Okay.
Important change in my life, really. We talked quite a few episodes back about Mourning Doves and how I said, I don't think I've ever heard one.
Ooh.
Now I'm hearing them constantly, and it's because I now am looking for it.
You're consciously aware of them. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny that I could confidently say, no, I've never heard this before. And now I'm hearing it all the time. It's such a background noise that I probably heard all the time. Just, I didn't recognize it. It didn't make sense to me. I don't know. When you said Mourning Dove, I was like, that sounds like something out of a book. That's not real, right?
Yeah, it sounds like turtle doves from Home Alone 2.
Yeah, exactly. Man, that movie's going to stick with us.
Yes, forever. Stick with us like a haunted spirit. Got a few of those in this episode.
That's true. We do. We do have a few evil spirits. I would say the dummy was quite the evil spirit.
Yes. Got some inspiration there, I'm sure. R.L. Stein. I don't know which came first, chicken or the egg, this story by Josh, or R.L. Stein entering this world from his mother's womb. But either way, great stories. Love me a good dummy. I thought about taking up ventriloquism once upon a time. They say it's never too late.
I think we all did at some point. It's kind of just like magic. Like you probably wanted to learn magic too, right?
Or flying a kite. Yeah.
It's funny because flying a kite, that's not really something you learned. Like it's like, this is how you do it. And then you do it. It's not something you have to like really practice to get to like ventriloquism.
Which is true. But at the same time, you can also be really good at it and a lot better than most people. So it's like a scale.
Oh, good point. Okay, so you were thinking, oh, I want to become like an expert kite flyer. I love Mary Poppins.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
I used to run kites back in the yard, the prison yard, so it's like very nostalgic for me.
Right. I remember you telling me about that. People don't know that you were in prison for so long.
Right, yeah, for quite some time, like a good 40, 50 years.
Wrongfully accused. No, he didn't go to prison.
No, I did not.
So the history of dummies being creepy, or ventriloquist dummies, I'm just going to call them dummies. I remember specifically when I was a kid, obviously, Night of the Living Dummy was something that scared all of us.
Yes.
Slappy, I guess is his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, also when I was a kid, we watched this movie called Dead of Night, I think is what it was. It's a 1940s movie. It came like before the Twilight Zone stuff, before the Alfred Hitchcock stuff, and you know, they incorporated dummies in their stories. But it came before all of that, and I think it was probably the first piece of media that popularized a scary ventriloquist dummy.
Okay, yeah.
I just want to highly recommend everyone check this out, because it was also a very experimental film for the time. It was like 1945, and it was an anthology movie where it's multiple stories in one movie, but it has a wraparound, like they all connect to this one narrative.
Nice.
Really great movie, but that's kind of what made ventriloquist dummies scary. Before that, they were just like entertainment for kids. It wasn't a creepy thing.
I wonder if the same could be said for clowns, if at some point clowns became a vessel for horrific imagery, or if somebody decided that it was scary, then tapped into it, and then other people were like, yeah, me too, and then it just kind of went from there.
I heard a story on another podcast. It was probably Mysterious Universe, something paranormal, but they were talking about how there are stories about people hallucinating on like absinthe or other chemicals and
ayahuasca or something.
Ayahuasca, and they see like clown figures, like that they're like interdimensional characters.
The elves and all that, yeah.
Entities, beings, yes, just like the mechanical elves or machine elves or whatever. I think that they probably are something that we're imitating from another realm.
Maybe the elves are what we think aliens are, and that they're visiting our Earth or whatever, and they're like introducing their external chemicals from the universe or from other galaxies or whatever, their molecular thing, and that's how they communicate, literal brain chemistry.
Yeah.
And that's how we're able to talk to them. It's like we send out radio wavelengths, they send out chemicals, and we happen to catch that figurative wavelength.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I could totally get that. I, you know, that people talk about the vibrational state and vibrations, and it's kind of woo-woo, but it makes a lot of sense. Everything is electricity, vibrations, frequencies. You think of whatever name you want to call it.
Yeah, just like you have like the dream realm, then like the psychedelic realm. There's so many different planes of existences and realities, and yeah, different matrixes.
Correct. That was actually hard to say. Matrixes.
Yeah, now you understand that. Maybe I should keep those mistakes in there. That was hard to say.
Yeah, yeah, keep that in there for sure. Yeah, and it could be, with the dummies, I was thinking it could be the uncanny valley effect. Like, it almost looks human, but it's not quite enough, and that just triggers a fear response in us.
Yeah, the super circular eyes and, like, the mechanical jaw. Yeah, something about it.
I feel like it was something that would scare me before I saw any type of horror media that portrayed it as scary. It's just scary, man.
Yeah. Like Mr. Rogers, like puppets were so cool in Mr. Rogers and I guess like Sesame Street, but they weren't very human-like. But yeah, the human puppets in Mr. Rogers, I remember finding them so wholesome and comforting.
That's interesting because I found them terrifying.
Though they definitely were. Like, I watched that documentary about him recently, which was super sweet.
Was that good?
Oh, yeah. I bawled like a baby. But yeah, looking back, they were super, super creepy. But at the time, I remember finding comfort in them.
I definitely got an uncanny valley effect watching them as a kid. And I didn't understand why they scared me. But I get it now because it is kind of the similar thing with the dummy. It looks too close to real, but not quite. It's kind of like how Pixar always makes their human models, their characters, with big eyes, big noses, weird-shaped bodies. Like, they can't make them look too human, like the Polar Express, because it's going to just be terrifying and creepy.
And somehow Avatar was able to pull it off. They somehow pulled off the Uncanny Valley thing, I think. They did it pretty well.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. There's still a little there.
Better than most.
Better than most.
We got a good handful of stories from Trish the Fish moving on here.
Don't
really know where to start. I think I was touched by the ghost in the fact that it was straightening up the bathroom, replacing the toilet paper. I don't know if that's like polite or some sort of manipulative thing, because we all know there's like that rule of reciprocity where, you know, I'm sure that ghost may want something in return. Nobody just cleans up a bathroom that isn't theirs for any good reason.
Yeah, the reciprocating ghost, I guess we can call it. Very helpful, very nice. Putting the teepee back on the rack, that was what sold it for me. But then you've got the phone showing that line is in use. They pick up and then they hear these horrifying screams.
Ooh, yeah. I don't know, something about a phone line. It doesn't seem right that we should be able to speak and communicate so instantaneously over a phone line, and it feels like such ancient technology. It does not feel right. And
yeah,
you could tell me how to build a phone line and make a phone system from scratch and like set me back in time 2000 years ago, and I would, well, however long it would be to have like the tools in place to do it from scratch, I probably couldn't do it. There's a lot of things, like ask me to build a skyscraper. I'm sorry, we're gonna be sleeping in mud huts. Nothing against mud huts.
Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with
nothing wrong with a good mud hut.
The thing about the phones, and I was thinking about this recently, I don't know why, I think it was like a Family Guy bit where they made a joke about the first phone call, but I would imagine a lot of people being very terrified of that technology when it came out.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what are you doing inside the phone?
Exactly. It's their first time hearing like a disembodied voice coming out of a machine.
Right.
Right into their ear. That's very weird for the first time.
Live in the flesh, not passively listening to a pre-recorded thing coming from a speaker. That's something else.
Mm-hmm. It's like when people watched the first, or I guess one of the first movies where it was the train going directly towards the camera and it scared them all. They all ran out of the theater.
It's so mean to ever consider doing, but just imagine like doing like a crazy drone show over one of the like uncontacted tribes. They've already seen some helicopters and stuff. Now imagine if we just started them with a drone show and that was their first taste of humanity.
That's so messed up.
Yeah. This is just like a Matrix simulation. What if, but
right.
Yeah. That would be such like a mind twist. We'll say we'll be PG-13.
Right. I know. I was thinking the same thing. I was driving home from work maybe 10, 12 years ago. This was the earlier days of the drones, but they still were able to do some complex stuff. And I had to drive from Sacramento to a smaller town up north. And there's just this long stretch of lonely two-way highway for quite a while, like 45 minutes. There's like nothing there besides fields. But I look over to my right and I see these bright lights going in formations, like moving around in formations in the sky over this cornfield perfectly. It's got to be a cornfield.
Is this the one where you pulled over and the other guy pulled over and you guys are just like, he couldn't speak English, he just shrugged and all that?
No, that was a completely different experience where we saw like a real UFO that time. No, that was like a real UFO. This ended up being drones because I took a picture of it and I showed it to my coworker the next day. And they're like, oh no, I know that guy. He flies his drones out over this field out in Del Paso Heights or whatever. And I was just kind of embarrassed because I thought I caught UFOs on camera. I was like, this is it. This is the best footage anyone's ever got of a UFO.
This is the one.
No, it was just drones.
Wow, drones and AI, man. I swear. I don't know. Something big is in store for, I mean, something's already in store. Something is on the shelves, on the streets. We are in it. We are knee deep.
Eesh. I don't like to think about it. Yeah.
yeah. I don't want to be too doomsday, but yeah. We can also look on the bright side. A lot of good things can and will result. It's just going to be a bumpy ride as technology advances at this rapid pace. But, you know, tell them something that they all don't know already.
Yeah. You know, going back to the four stories, I do want to touch on this snake thing. They saw this snake, it like disappeared, but then they had a dream about snakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my uncle, and I probably told this on the podcast at some point, my uncle used to have dreams about snakes, and anytime he did, something really terrible happened the next day, like an awful tragedy.
Makes sense.
Every single time he dreamt of snakes.
That makes sense.
I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just saying.
Oh.
It's similar.
No, I think it makes sense because I think you just think like culturally, whether it's like biblically or even just calling people a snake, there's that sort of association that we have. So it would make sense to me that it could be seen as not a premonition, but you know, hey, something bad's about to happen.
Right.
Whatever that word is.
A foreboding.
Yeah, definitely. Don't like snakes, never have. I've always been very scared of snakes. My wife is one of those ones who thinks they're adorable, which is fine. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just not my thing, man. They scare me.
I think they're super cute, like from the comfort of a 4K television, but yeah.
There you go. Yeah, they are kind of cute from a distance.
Yeah, watching some like life documentary or something, they're really nice. Especially like the green tree pythons. I love those ones, or those solid yellow ones. Those are my two favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. Oh, so we have another reappearing object story, which I love. I love when things disappear and reappear. I'm still of the belief that these things are either dropping in and out of our reality, like our matrix somehow, like they're glitching in and out, or like the author here thought, Twisted Fate, their mom might be, like their late mother might be playing a joke on them or something like that, because the kitchen holds this sentimental energy and it's, you know, tied to someone who passed, like their mother.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was their mother's way of communicating. Either way, when things disappear and reappear, it just freaks me out because it happens so often.
It's probably obviously their way to interact with us, like especially if it's like a repeated, if it's the same object that goes reappearing, I can imagine it's tied to the object.
Yeah.
It's strange because we see like, we hear stories about the most mundane items that go missing. But there's no explanation for it. It's never like a sentimental scarf that like your great grandmother knitted for you suddenly appearing around your neck when you wake up in 3 in the morning. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's nothing like that. It's a marble rolling across the hallway that distracts you enough. And then when you bend over to pick it up, a golf ball goes flying through your window and you escape death that way. So, I mean, it's a strange thing. I don't know. It's some way of getting our attention, though. I know that much. That's all I can really add to that.
That's a good point. Yeah, maybe it's something, it's just the Matrix, the computer's way of getting our attention, the simulation saying, hey.
It's the virus scanner telling us, hey.
There you go.
Be careful, don't go on that website.
You've got something to fix, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got something to fix in your life.
I know, it's always these domestic settings that feel so prone to these small little events that can't really be explained.
Mm-hmm, yep.
How do you think you would handle makeup or just the presence of a deceased body? Do you think there are circumstances in which it wouldn't freak you out even the slightest?
No, I think that it would freak me out immediately. I revolted when I saw my grandmother after she passed away. There's been others that I've been to their funerals with open caskets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that, but I respect it. It completely terrifies me. I don't like the feeling at all. I admire people that do those jobs so much
because that
is such an intense thing to have to do. Some people love it and that's great. We need people that love it because they're great at it. But man, I could never do it. No way.
Yeah, that's exactly why I asked, because it takes so much to be able to do that. Props to you, Cindy. Anybody else who in a similar line of work, stressful situations where somebody's got to do it. Speaking of seeing dead bodies, I was seven or eight. And I saw my great-grandmother at her funeral, open casket, and I actually like reached over and touched the top of her hand because my mom did it. So I figured, okay, this is what you're supposed to do. And I was old enough to realize, yeah, this is a real corpse, for lack of a better word. That sounded horrible. This is a real person. This is a real...
No, it totally is, yeah.
Yeah, no, I felt like a sense of like sobering calmness. Even at that age, I realized like, yeah, it's sad, but there's that solemnness to it and that reminder. Mm-hmm. I wasn't as disturbed as you might think. And then the only time after that, I saw my other great grandmother. That was like 10 years after that. And there was no real reaction. And I think for me, it's only just like witnessing death occurring. That's kind of like a, ooh. But even then, it can be viewed with a certain like desensitized lens in some circumstances. But I don't like how that is the case.
Yeah, I was in the hospital during my grandpa passing, and he did like the whole death rattle thing.
Oh.
And that was just so disturbing and strange, but you could feel it in the room. You could feel a shift, like a spiritual shift in the room. I can't explain it, can't put it into words, but something happens. I can't explain that feeling. Other than it confirmed for me that we got spirits. We got spirits in there, baby. And they're going somewhere because we felt it in the room.
There's just way too many unseen forces out there in the universe that we know exist. We can't quite possibly make sense of. It makes sense, and it also doesn't make sense to think we're just dead. Just one day we just cease living and everything and just that's it. But then also, how does that make sense either too? You know, I don't know. I don't know. It's beyond words. Beyond words.
I've had way too many experiences in life to, in any fashion or form, believe that we just end. It's impossible to me. It's an impossibility considering what I've experienced. And I think a lot of people feel that way. That's one thing about this show that I love. One of the many things. It has cemented a lot of my experiences and beliefs. It's vilified or vindicated. I don't know the right word. It's
validated.
One of those fancy words. Validated, sure. A lot of my beliefs and experiences, because others have had such similar or exact experiences when they send in their stories. So thank you all so much for sharing your stories. These were great stories this week. If you have a story to share, make sure you send it in to stories@oddtrails.com so we can talk about it here on the show. And if you want to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes, it's the best way to listen and support the show. Go to patreon.com/oddtrails to sign up. Support the show today. And don't forget to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts, like Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast at crypticcountypodcasts.com. This is a great episode. Everybody, thanks for listening and stay safe.
Peace out.
and the ghouls disturb you, darling.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.